This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. It is our 9 o'clock hour. Later in the hour, we will have a hot seat. And if you've been paying close attention, you'll know who is on it. But right now, we have in studio a man who knows more football than all of us together. His name is Seth Joyner. He's sponsored by Bradford Whitewater Heaters. To find a plumbing professional near you, visit BradfordWhite.com. Right out of the box, Seth, did it make sense to you that Miles Sanders did not get a scheduled run for 24 plus minutes in yesterday's game?
Yeah, I was absolutely shocked because going into the game, you know, my research told me that the Bears were ranked 27th in the NFL in run defense, and they were giving up on average 140 yards per game. So I thought the game plan would be, with the weather being the way that it was, let's go in, establish the run, dominate the line of scrimmage, go play action when we need to throw the ball.
So give me a speculation as to why they went entirely away from that.
Well, you know, listen, this part of the NFL where, you know, you've got these new head coaches, these young head coaches, you know, what the data analytics says is that, you know, you run the you throw the ball early, you get a lead, and then you try to run the clock out. You know, that's what balances up your run to pass ratio, you know, by the time the game is over. I don't agree with it because, you know, if your quarterback throws two interceptions, you know, the wind is howling, he can't feel his hands, you know, sun's in his eye, he can't, you know, field vision is all off. Then you run the football until the conditions change and are more conducive to you actually being able to throw the football.
That is exactly the right thing to say. In fact, I want to play what Hurts actually said on that, because he was describing what it was like in the sun and in the cold. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I think early in the game, personally, I really couldn't feel my hands. It was very cold. Didn't really have good vision on the field personally. Just, but I think in the end, that's a testament to how we persevered as a team and how we believed in one another as a team.
It's a testament to him that he hung in there after getting waffled first play, third quarter. In that play set, don't you, at that moment in time, if you're a coach, go, we cannot continue to put him in that spot. He could have gotten knocked out. For all we know, I just had a call said he's still worried about his shoulder. You saw what happened there. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you're a coach and you see – your quarterback ended up with 17 carries in that game. That is what I call coaching malpractice. What do you think about Hurts taking that abuse yesterday?
Well, you know, I'm going to err on the side of caution because, you know, in week one he had 17 carries. And had he not ran the ball as many times as he ran the ball against the Detroit Lions the first game of the season, they would not have won that football game. And the other thing people have to realize, too, is that, you know, the coaching staff isn't necessarily making all of these calls. The minute you call the RPO, you're putting yourself in a position where the quarterback has to read what the defense is doing. So a lot of times, you know, you're getting runs, you know, when you may want to pass, or you're getting a pass when you may want to run, or you're getting the option of the quarterback actually running with the football based upon what the defense is showing you. So when you consider all of those things, you call an RPO. It's on the quarterback to make the proper read and make the proper decision. You know, and as far as, you know, Jalen's comments, you know, sometimes, you know, as a quarterback, and Jalen's been awesome at this all year long, I believe he's the MVP of the National Football League, but you got to make the right decisions at times. Sometimes, you know, he's got to know when to throw the ball and when to take the shot. And yesterday I felt like in those two instances, you know, where he threw the interceptions, they were bad decisions. You got to realize, you got to understand when to get down. And then also you got to give the Chicago Bears some credit, because they've got a quarterback that's running a system that's similar to what the Eagles actually run. So what defense is better equipped after seeing that all the time?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, than the Chicago Bears. And they really gave, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, some problems. And listen, it's not going to be pretty all the time. It's not going to be perfect every time. They were averaging 41 points a game, Angelo, coming into this game.
Yeah.
Something had to give at some point in time. You know, they had to have a little bump in the road, and it's better to have it now and still be able to overcome it against a team that's so bad that they can't take advantage of that, than for it to happen down the road.
Okay, I just want to – I don't want to come across as negative this morning. It's important I don't.
Too
so
late.
I would like to
I
play now.
For the last 40 minutes.
I would like to play now the finest moment of the game for Jalen Hurts, because you're saying he's got to read the defense. One time he read it brilliantly, and he saw a blitz, and here's what happened on
Hurts
that play.
Comes up. Maybe audibilizing. Let's see what he does right here. Calls for the football. He's going to run. He's at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Goodbye, touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Seth, that was unbelievable that he just got past the line and there was no one there. You were a linebacker. Did they blow it or did he see something? What happened on that play?
Well, the safety, number nine, I forget his name.
Yeah.
He hit the wrong gap.
Ah.
You know, so Jason Kelce wound up blocking the defensive tackle into him. Left the A-gap on the left side wide open. And I promise you it was a checked call. That play was not called in the huddle at the line of scrimmage. They line up. They saw that there was no one in the box. They had spread the entire defense out. The free safety was the only guy left in the hole. And he started creeping. You can see, you know, pretty darn early he gave it away. Jalen knew what it was right away. And, you know, he checked to that play. And – you know, that's the problem sometimes, you know, if you blitz. And I'm a big proponent of blitzing. I'll talk about, you know, Montgomery sneaking out of the backfield yesterday.
Oh.
You know, you got T.J. Edwards and Avonte Maddox. Both of them are coming on that side. And I know what the expectation is. I've been in that position before. You're coming. You expect for the back to blitz pickup. Well, he went out. And whoever was responsible for him forgot to cover him. Got greedy going to the, you know, trying to make a play that's not yours to make, because if you just have him, if you pick him up, the blitz is going to get there.
Yeah.
See, and these are the kinds of mistakes that happens when you blitz that prevents Jonathan Gannon, you know, from
all right, we're not doing defense yet.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
But you're talking about that play on defense. It's the same scenario. When you don't hit the right gaps on your blitzes, and that's exactly what happened on that play with Jalen Hurts. And you got to give him credit for being able to see that, one, check to it, two, and then give Jason Kelce the lion's share of it to be able to block two people.
Just tell me this. If you're on the field and you see the guy just running into the end zone with no one around him, how does that feel from the defender's point of view? Did that ever happen to you?
Sure.
Do you feel foolish at that moment?
No, you're just pissed because you know, like listen, if we had all-out blitzes in every formation, every defense that we had.
With Buddy?
And you know that all-out blitz is designed for someone to come free.
Yep.
You know, so you got a free hitter to the quarterback. So if the quarterback makes a play like that, or the back checks, you know, hot out and no one's on him, you know, you're pissed because you know that somebody screwed up and made a mistake and busted an assignment in a situation where we had the quarterback dead to rights.
Debbie's on the line. She sings. Hi, Deb.
Hi, good morning, Angelo. I have to tell you, that game was such a nail-biter. I was so worried. It wasn't a great game. I mean, it was encouraging to watch how many times we sacked the quarterback. But, man, when I flipped on to the Jacksonville game, you know what? All of us in our text group were all nostalgic about Dougie. I wrote a little short ditty for Dougie, if you guys want to hear it.
Absolutely. Now, so you were overjoyed by the failure of the Cowboys to win that game against the Jaguars?
Of course I was.
All right. Let's hear the song, Deb.
Okay. It's from Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay.
We love you, Doug P. Oh, we still do. Won us our Super Bowl. That was so cool. Sunday in overtime. Thank you. And Rayshon Jenkins, thank you, too.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Made it entertaining this weekend.
Debbie, that's awesome. And I got to ask you, the Cowboys fell on their face. Micah Parsons looked like a fool today. What's your reaction to what happened to the Cowboys, Seth Joyner?
I think I said it tongue-in-cheek, but I said the only thing that's more exciting than the Eagles figuring out a way to win this game today is the Cowboys lost.
Wasn't that horrible? Was it sad? Did you see it in real time? Were you able to see it?
We were like going into you know our post game show. We were live into the introduction of Mike Missanelli. I stopped him mid intro into the show. I'm like, a program alert here. The Cowgirls just got their ass kicked by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You cut right in?
Oh, I cut him off.
Oh, that is beautiful. Joe, play the Dallas version there, number 10 in lock. I just want you to hear this because this is Brad Sham. He has been their play-by-play guy forever in Dallas, and he seems upset. Let's listen.
Prescott in the gun. Back. Throws it over the middle. That's intercepted. It's being returned down the right side to the 20. Jenkins to the 10. Jenkins into the end zone. And the Jaguars have beaten the Cowboys in overtime.
That was Stephen A. Smith afterwards. Stephen A. enjoyed it a lot. Anthony's up next. Hi, Anthony. Anthony, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got for me today?
I don't know. I can't agree with you today. That's one thing I can't do. I don't know. Because I got a question for you, Angelo. One question. Do you care more about the first 30 minutes of the game or the totality of the game?
Anthony, hold on.
Here we go. I love
because there's one thing I don't need here is lying.
Hmm.
Anthony, during the first half, just explain to me what you were saying and what you were thinking.
Okay, I will agree with you on not giving Miles Sanders the ball up until, the very end of the second half.
Right.
But could you look and tell me how many yards did Miles Sanders have at the end of this game?
Not enough, all right, because he had 144 the week before, and he's capable of doing that against that defense if you give him the opportunity to do it, which they didn't bother to do. How do you put a game plan together and have no runs by a guy who got you 1,000 yards this year in sub-freezing weather, 30-mile-an-hour winds, and an awful defense? Anthony, please.
But one thing I can say, you got to understand this here.
You're a Stepford fan. You're a robot.
No. Listen to me.
You're a robot.
There is.
Well, have him check the boxes. There's a bridge.
And Jalen Hurts. Listen, Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts. Those are the two guys that are going to run the ball 100 to 100, 53 by 53, the whole game. Both of those guys could not get the run going on the ground. The guys finished with 315 in the air, two receivers with 100 yards plus, and every
You didn't watch the game. How are you supposed to get something going in the ground when you're not running?
Because we could not run the ball.
No, they didn't try to run the ball. They didn't try to run the ball. Stop.
I cannot. Anthony, I must stop you at this point because WIP has a policy against robots. Those things where you have to check the box now, Al?
Wherever there's a traffic light. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know what I have heard now, Al? I have heard that robots are programmed to check the box saying they're not a robot.
Probably
that was a robot. Yeah. There's no robots on this show.
I mean, you can argue. You can't argue with
Jonesy. There's no robots on the show.
On Twitter, there is.
Well, maybe so, but not here. You think I bring Seth Joyner in to listen to a robot?
He doesn't listen to bots. He will.
I don't think so.
He will entertain a dope, though.
Hey, listen. Everyone's gonna have their opinion, and you know what the problem is? When you look at this game from an analytical standpoint, you would say that it made no sense for the Eagles to do what they did.
Yes.
Okay. Did they overcome it? Listen, they overcame. They overcame the two interceptions. They overcame the fumble. They won the game against a team that's far, you know, less superior, far more
inferior.
Thank you, Al, to them. But at the end of the day, it just didn't look good because that was a team that they should have just dominated from beginning to end.
Now, when we come back, I do want you to tell us what you thought of that kid they faced, Justin Fields, because that kid's got some talent. Wow. We'll hear Seth on that. All right, 924. Seth is now going to break down the defense for us, which had a pretty good day at 20 points, Al. But, you know, the three touchdowns, and those three touchdowns were not very much contested. But they had a lot of other great plays, and here's some of them right now.
Fields takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He steps up. He starts to run. And he's sacked! Sack number 50 on the season, and it's Josh Sweat who gets him. Back to throw. He is hit. He is sacked back at the 40-yard line. They've got him, a Javon Hargrave. He looks left. He looks right. He's hit, and the football is loose, and the Eagles are fighting for it. He steps up. He's tackled. He's sacked back at the 40, and it is Reddick with his second of the game. He's looking. He's hit. They've got him again. Here comes the rush. They've got him again. It's Hargrave this time. That is sack number 6. This defense is roaring.
All right, 2 for Sweat, 2 for Hargrave, 2 for Reddick, and Reddick was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Reddick's performance, Seth?
Wait a minute. If you didn't know Merrill Reese and you heard that voice, you think he's about 6'5", 280 pounds.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Got him again!
He was so happy with it.
Like,
but he was killing the play call. Yeah, he and Mike, man, Al, they were game hunting all day. They were crushing. But tell me about Reddick and what you saw yesterday from that kid.
Hey, listen, he's hitting his stride. I think it took him a while to get comfortable, and it took them a little while to kind of figure out how to use him. And that was always my question, in the pickup. But, you know, what he's providing for them in the pass rush, just all of them across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you this, you're going to fall off your chair. Do you know the Eagles have 19 sacks in the last 3 games?
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that is a lot.
So they had six the week before, I want to say, 6 against the Packers. Was it that far back or maybe?
Yeah. Oh, 6-7-6, the last 3.
6-7-6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The last 3 games. And I'm like, that is like insane. And not doing it with a whole lot of blitzing. Now, Josh Sweat, the 2 he had, they beat him with the same move twice. A little ET stunt.
Yeah.
And then they flipped it and went a TE stunt, and Hargrave got one of his.
That was a TE stunt there.
Now, I would love to see them do a little more of that because, you know, you kind of mess with, the tackle in stunt, you know, the tackle goes first and then the end goes, the end goes and then the tackle goes.
That's the TE stunt.
You looked a little confused, Angela.
He had it confused with the ET, the one with the moon.
Yeah, I don't.
He started saying home.
You lost me at some point in there.
So now you got it, right?
Right.
But Hassan Reddick, I mean, they're not running any stunts on his rushes. I mean, the kid is, you know, he's fast. Because he's only about 6'2", 6'3", you know, he uses leverage to his advantage. And then you also got to think, you know, he's got to be strong as an ox because he is just destroying some of these offensive tackles, and they have no answer for what he's doing.
Beautiful to see. I asked you earlier in the show to please do a tribute to Temple University where Hassan Reddick played. Are you prepared to do it now?
No.
You're not? Good. I got it anyway. Play it, Joe.
D for Temple University. Fight, fight, fight for the cherry and the white. For the cherry and the white. We'll fight, fight, fight.
Take that, Rhea Hughes.
God, how old is that, Joe?
I don't know. You seem like you had a higher voice then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what did you get for Christmas that year?
All right, let's talk, if you would, for a second, Seth. Talk a little bit about Justin Fields. What kind of – how impressed were you, and how do you stop a kid with that kind of running speed?
Well, you know, I had Clay Harbor on my show last week, and we were talking about Clay covers the Bears. And, you know, I said, Clay, you know, what's going on? Because, you know, you look at him statistically – you know, from last year to this year, and there's a massive improvement upon where he was last year and what he's doing thus far. And Clay said, you know, you wouldn't, unless you were a Bears fan, you wouldn't be able to see it. He said, but over the last five games, something has just, you know, clicked with this kid, and he's passing the ball better. He's making much better decisions. And you saw it yesterday. And for any young quarterback that comes into the NFL, it's a growth curve. You know, the Patrick Mahomes and the Justin Herberts, they're the anomalies. Those guys, you know, they don't come around that often where they're just so cerebral that, you know, they can step into the pro game and just start thriving from day one. But, you know, he's having to learn, you know, to see all the coverages, you know, because in college he probably had a handful of coverages that he would recognize. Not only is it, you know, understanding – all the different coverages, but it's understanding how defenses disguise what they are to get to something else. Protections, all of those things is a learning curve for him. And as the game begins to slow down and they begin to put more weapons around him, Ryan Poles, the GM for the Chicago Bears, and Matt Eberflus, the head coach, they start putting the pieces around him and protecting him. And he starts playing the game from the pocket, like Jalen, from the standpoint that he's going to play quarterback first and then use his ability to get out and run when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. He's going to be a problem for the NFL.
Reddick had him out. Reddick had his third sack.
He runs
down the sideline. Did you see how he got down that sideline?
And just
that was mind-boggling. He barely stepped out or he was in the end zone. That was absolutely mind-boggling what a run that was.
Well, it was clear, you know, the defense couldn't stop him. The only thing that could stop him was the out-of-bounds line.
That was it. No, that kid, I was very impressed. Billy's out of line. Hi, Billy.
Good morning, Angelo. Good morning, Seth.
What are you feeling? Are you in touch with your feelings this morning, Bill?
I'm in touch with my feelings, Angelo, because we're 13-1, baby, and we're going to go to Dallas and give them an upset. You know,
that would be perfect. Although that will then lead to a lot. Al, that would lead to some downtime. But I got to believe the Eagles will want to play the next game to beat the Saints and get a higher draft pick.
Definitely.
I would like to believe that.
Yeah, they have
so
to.
You win Saturday night. You have 8 days to prepare for the next one. You win that one, and then who cares about the last one? It doesn't matter. I want I want 15 wins this year.
There you go. But, Angelo, I'm going to say about Jalen with some interceptions. He kept throwing them in that win, and he was dropping them in the bucket.
You're right.
Even with the sun glare, with the cold and everything, he didn't shy away from it. He just kept going at it.
Seth, those throws he was making, because those were 50-50 balls to both Smith and A.J. Brown. You got to have a lot of faith in your arm and in their ability to catch it, don't you? Those were risky throws if those guys aren't great receivers.
No, they're not risky throws because they're throws, you know, in places where only the wide receiver can catch them or they're incompletions. You know, when you're struggling like that, you know, you got a quarterback that understands that. You'd rather have him in a situation like that than those two balls that he threw.
Okay.
You know, the first one, in my opinion, was a good play by the safety. He was underneath it, kind of had an idea where Jalen was going with the ball and just kind of drifted back into it. The second one, I kind of wonder, you know, when you look at how soon he threw the ball and where Quez was, did Quez not break that route off at the proper yardage? You know, did he take it a little too high and Jalen is anticipating him to be at one yardage and he stretched it, you know, 2 yards, which delayed the breakout? So I don't know. I don't know, you know, what the dynamics of all of that was. But, again, like I said earlier, those two were decision mistakes to me more than anything else.
But just so you know, Rhea and I are on the same page on this. Mm-hmm. After careful study during yesterday's game, mm-hmm. we are in agreement that Quez sucks.
No, that's not what I said.
These runs out. these quarterback screens.
Bubble screens. Yeah,
those bubbles.
Yeah.
The guy, they never work.
Yeah.
He loses yards. yardage, he goes backwards.
Well, listen,
not that bright.
That's not on him. That's not on him.
Moving when,
if you're going to run those plays, then you got to make sure that the numbers are right to begin with.
They never are when they throw it to him.
No.
I mean, you see other teams run it, and the guy's got the ball. There's two defenders out there. The other two wide receivers are blocking them. The other thing is, you can't run that play with Devontae Smith out there and think he's going to block somebody. You know, he doesn't want to block anybody. And he tries, but at 165 pounds, he's not blocking anybody.
He did have a nice block on a catch yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but I mean.
Yeah, but it's not what he's going to do every time.
That's because the guy didn't see him, Rhea. Yeah.
Let me reiterate.
The other thing is, put Zach Pascal in there. Those plays work better when you have Dallas Goedert and Zach Pascal.
You're right.
You know, on the roster. And then the other thing is, you got a guy that's faster than anybody else on the team. Why do you keep running bubble screens to him?
Yeah.
Why isn't he in a position when he's stretching the defense so that you can either get stuff underneath or you can hit him down the field? But I get sick and tired of seeing the bubble screen to Quez. 4 catches for 6 yards. Are you kidding me?
Billy, repeat after me. Quez sucks.
No, he doesn't.
But they don't have Goddard. So,
your name is not Billy, Seth. Back off. Billy, say it after me.
I'm
Quez
not
sucks.
Not going to let you defame that man's name while I sit here, Angelo.
Billy,
no,
great job.
Suck.
Billy, you Thank and I you know love. More than Joyner.
Players are like chess pieces on a board, okay? If the chess master don't know what the hell he's doing, the pieces have no shot.
All right. Billy, did you have anything else you needed to say?
I want to say Eagles.
Very nice. Well, Billy, last thing. I'm trying to picture of Saturday night in the Joyner household. Will the game be on? What will the situation be on Christmas Eve? Yeah, I know you are doing post-game, but you're doing it from home, right?
Yeah, we'll be working remote this week so we can enjoy the holidays with our family. But you can bet 100%, you know, I'll be on pregame. I'll be watching the game during the game, and I'll be on postgame, and I'll be lighting Twitter up. You can best believe
it. Even if it's Christmas Eve, if you see something you don't like, you will grumble?
It's highly likely.
Seth Joyner, the Grinch who stole Christmas.
And I don't have to be in studio, so I might have a couple of eggnogs in me by then, too.
Uh-oh. Don't miss that. Seth Joyner, always a pleasure, pal. 215.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Same to you. WIP Sports Time, 9:36. Let me tell you, what are you guys doing waiting so long for the big gift? You have not yet gotten the jewelry you're going to need for Christmas? Well, you better do it now because you're almost out of time. Steven Singer Jewelers, that's the place you want to get it. You know that. Steven's got whatever you want. If you're going to get an engagement ring, you can't do better. If you're going to get diamond stud earrings, which are number one, you can't do better. The key thing you need to know is when you're buying jewelry at Steven Singer Jewelers, you are not going through all the rigmarole you are anywhere else. The price, that's the actual price. You don't have to negotiate. That's what it costs. That's the fair price. He's got the best guarantee in the business. If it ends up not being the perfect thing, you got a 400-day, 100% no-hassle money-back guarantee. And remember, if it's diamonds, whatever it is, you can always get back the exact amount that you got toward another diamond. So that's a great deal as well. All you need to know, you still got time. Go online right now, ihatestevensinger.com. Click on whatever it is you want, or you can go to the showroom, the other corner of 8th and Walnut. But don't wait any longer. This is your last chance for fast and free shipping, so do it right now. ihatestevensinger.com. All right, 9:41. I'm going to give you a preview of something we're going to tackle tomorrow because it came up toward the end of the show. Joe Wecht, our producer, put it in my ear, and it is a very fascinating question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Al. Next two games. Christmas Eve, Eagles at Dallas.
Yep.
Come on, Dallas. Holiday. It's monster, right?
System
Huge
quarterback.
Game.
Yeah.
Following game, playing out the string, home, New Orleans. 1:00 the following Sunday.
That game matters the most, right?
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the draft choice,
but this,
right?
Again, and you heard me all morning taking emotion above basic logic. You're 13-1. You shouldn't have anything to bitch about. No. That game was a train wreck yesterday. That they won it was almost a miracle. All right? The fact is, with your emotional attachment to beating Dallas, you're going to want that one much more. But if you win the next one instead, A, you still qualify number one seed by the whole deal.
Yeah.
And you put another loss on the record of the Saints,
mm-hmm.
who you own the first pick for.
Yeah.
And you have moved them up the charts for the draft pick by beating them.
Yeah.
Now, if you win against the Cowboys, maybe you call off the dogs and don't play your guys the last two games and lose the New Orleans game. You're hurting yourself.
You are.
But will people see it that way? I'm not even sure I see it that way.
Hmm.
I'm going to have finger food.
What? Yeah.
I'm going to be jamming in finger food.
Instead of having the seven fishes?
In fact, I'll be honest with you. I went, you know, I did that one game I went to.
Yeah.
It cost me a fortune.
What? Why?
My wife goes to Ray Panaccia's tailgate.
Yeah.
She loves the food.
Oh, it's really good there.
My wife has cooked on Christmas Eve every night forever.
She's cooked?
No. She has cooked.
She cooks, Al. She's not cooked.
Guess what she did? What's the guy's name here?
Luis Lesiaga.
Luis Lesiaga is catering my Christmas Eve.
Oh, you're cooked.
I knew that before you did. She,
I know
she contacted
you did.
Me.
You'll be cooked by about 9 p.m.
Ava Graham, who is on the hot seat today?
Well, Angelo, though we really haven't mentioned his name too much, his play calling was a big issue.
Today, Shane Steichen is on the hot seat. Brought to you by Xfinity, the fastest internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Lounge. Hot seat.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's simply no way you could be an Eagles fan and say you enjoyed yesterday's game because it was the single dumbest game plan you could ever imagine a team of excellent coaches coming up with.
And what was the deal, Shane? Jalen Hurts was flipping freezing.
Seeing a situation that was less logical than what I saw. Their own quarterback couldn't feel, so let's throw the ball on every down.
Yeah, I think early in the game, personally, I really couldn't feel my hands. It was very cold. Didn't really have good vision on the field, personally.
30-mile-an-hour winds, wind chill 6. You got a 1,000-yard runner. It's the 31st-ranked run defense.
Run the ball!
Run the ball!
The misuses of Miles Sanders. I just don't understand that.
Me
either. It makes no sense to me.
They mapped out a plan that was way better than yours.
To have your quarterback run 17 times, I'm worried about him. And, you know, this is just a short week, and the playoffs are coming up, and you got to have him healthy getting into the playoffs. That's priority number one. And if he keeps taking these kind of shots, I'm concerned that won't happen.
Tomorrow morning, when Nick Sirianni is on here, he can expect a harsh grilling.
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Now, let me be clear on that.
Great
the
voice.
Harsh grilling will be done with only the most professional courtesy.
Oh, gosh, of course.
Well, I will ask these questions because I am personally frustrated by that game plan.
Yeah.
And I would like him to take us inside it. So what did you see, Nick, that made you think throwing into a 30-mile-an-hour wind was brilliant, right? Because you do have a guy that you could have gotten going with the run. Now, he's already on the record saying they should have given the ball more.
Yeah, that the RPOs were not his.
I would like further reassurance that I will not have to face this disappointment again.
Yeah. He's got a big week coming here.
Does he have
it's
a
hard
big
to
week?
Get, imagine trying to get a team prepared for a game that really doesn't mean that
I don't
much.
Think that's a problem with that system quarterback thing.
No, Jonesy, they're going to be up for it.
I hope so.
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so, because my holiday and the holiday of this city depends on it.
Finger foods, buddy.
And I got finger foods, though.
I don't understand.
You might be using your middle finger by the middle of the
no,
game.
No, it's all stuff you could put in your hand.
You know, the steak on a kebab.
Right, I'm going to be eating meat off a stick.
Pigs in a blanket.
Right, I'll be sliding the meat up the stick.
Smell like pizza.
No, we're not doing the pizza.
Why?
Because Luis doesn't do pizza. Luis does really good
Luis
food.
Is a real chef.
Yeah.
He's a real
what
chef.
What does this cost?
Was
a lot.
I have made one thing I said to my wife.
Don't tell you?
Because I said, I can never know.
How many people are you having?
A lot, like 15 or 20.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not a lot.
That's a lot.
I know. We used Luis for a party for a friend of mine, and we had 40 or 50 people.
Give me a little.
Understand, I said to my wife, I am not Ray Panaccia. I do not have unlimited funding.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
I can't wait to hear about this. Bit.
I'm a man about to retire, Al.
Yeah,
I gotta save money.
You're on a budget now.
You're on a budget.
This Luis thing is very good.
You're
He's
gonna
an
love
amazing
the food,
chef. Yes. I'm gonna love the food. I'm not gonna love the bill.
Do you have entertainment coming as well?
Or? Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
That's entertainment? What are you going to do, throw a stick for the dog?
I'm a professional radio guy. Of course it's entertainment.
Oh, God.
Tom's out of line from CIA.
Let's all guess how much this costs.
We'll play The Price is Right.
Sir, you didn't finish that. How much that cost me?
Sir, you got to finish that. I can't. Tom's up from Sea Isle. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, Angelo, what's happening?
What's happening with you? Tom, what was it like watching that game for you yesterday?
I was very agitated because they wouldn't run the ball.
Yep. That's it.
I mean, I've seen the Bears play about five games on TV, and they're terrible against running, stopping the run, and we're throwing the ball all over the field. I'm going crazy in the living room.
Well, that's what I was expecting people to say all morning. Some of them rubbed it right out of their memory because they won the game. But, Tom, I know how frustrated I felt for 3 hours, and I didn't suddenly get over it because they won.
Yeah, they won. They're 13-1, Angelo. When I left for Antigua, they were 10-1.
Well, Tom, the fact of the matter is, and I appreciate your call, I do not know how to behave at 13-1. Well, never been here.
Just like you are.
Well, never been here.
You weren't here in
04? Think probably my approach this morning was unfair to the Eagles.
I don't even remember when they were. They
were never 13-1.
They were 12.
They were 12. They ended up losing. In 04, 05,
Super Bowl
they went to 12-2.
Okay.
13-1 is uncharted territory.
Oh, wow.
And yet I'm still in a bad mood. You know, if they don't win against Washington, and that happened yesterday, I would have sounded even dumber.
You know how different this whole thing would be if they had won that game they lost?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Everything would be different.
This would have been.
Everything.
Oh, my God.
It would
be a problem. They lost at the right time.
No, it was a good time to get lost. Honestly, you don't want to be undefeated.
The national media would have been all,
oh, God, no, this was better. Joe's up from East Norridan. Hi, Joey.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're good, Joey, but, you know, we're harboring some misgivings.
We are 13-1, man. How better can we feel? I expected this game. You know, I expected that, you know, it was going to struggle a little bit. But, you know, I knew the Eagles were going to pull it anyway. It was cold, man. I played in that weather. I know how it feels when you're playing out there. Every time you get hit, it feels like a brick wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, the best thing that happened yesterday after that game is seeing the Cowboys come on and throw that interception, and they ran it back for a touchdown. That was the best feeling I gotten all year. You know, because
wait a minute, hold on. Are you saying the Cowboys lost? I didn't know. I had not heard that. Hold on a minute. Joe's got a cut. Let me make sure you're right on this, Joe. Go ahead.
Shotgun for Prescott. Looking. Fires middle of the field, and that ball is picked off. It is picked off by Rayshon Jenkins. He's running it back along the right sideline. That is going to be a touchdown. That is going to be a touchdown. The Jags are going to win it on a Rayshon Jenkins pick six. Are you kidding me?
Wow, Joe, you were right. Joe, I had not heard that. Thank you for reminding me of something I didn't know. That was pretty fun, huh, Joe?
Did you see Doug Peterson?
Doug Peterson looked like he had won the Super Bowl again.
Can we do something for Doug Peterson? Can we do one more thing? Can we build another statue for him for this game that he just won for us?
Yes, we can.
Let's do a second with Joe. Thank you. And yes, needless to say, I'm going to do Winners and Weasels Thursday. I cannot imagine anyone will beat Doug for that. And he was so happy.
Yeah, he was so pumped.
You knew he still hated the Cowboys.
You can see the reaction.
Yes. Well, Ange, they're what, one game out of a playoff spot?
Right. They can make the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah, yes. They can make the playoffs.
Oh, this game's big for them Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Uh-oh. Trouble ahead.
Angela, I don't know if you are doing Winners and Weasels on Thursday because I think we got some really special NovaCare Rehabilitation Suite tickets to get.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I think
we'll figure it out.
Video.
We'll figure it out. I want to give him his props. He had a great day. Zach is up next. Hi, Zachary.
Hey, what's going on, Angela? It's my first time calling. Actually, I'm from Los Angeles, but a huge Eagles fan. Been a fan for 20 years.
Oh, great. How do you feel at 13-1, Zach?
You know, I just like you, I don't know how to feel, and that sounds negative, right?
No.
But at the end of the day, we don't, you know, the hype has always been there for us this season, but sometimes you don't want to be on the hype train. Sometimes you want to be the underdog like we've been before, and so it's weird.
You're an underdog this week.
We are an underdog. The Cowboys are favored by one.
The pressure came off of us a little bit, and the pressure's on Dallas now a little more. So honestly, the magic number's one. Let's just get one win and get our NFC East title and get our number one seed.
Zach,
I don't care how we do it.
That is a very good statement. I appreciate it. I only got a few seconds. Will of God, I don't have much time. What did you need to say to that?
Yo, man, I'm peeping everything. I didn't get a chance to watch the game like I'm supposed to. But if you think about it, Jalen is really working hard so he can really get paid. My only problem is the daggone coach, if you keep on doing this and making our first string get hurt, and they get hurt where they can't be a part of the system for the rest of the daggone year, that's a major problem.
Will, that is the most coherent you have ever been on this show. And I applaud you for that, Alex. Really come around.
It's clear thinking.
We did a four-part appearance by him on Friday.
Yeah. He was at the hospital.
I took quite a bit of feedback both ways on that.
Oh, I bet you did.
Sherry, I got 10 seconds. What do you got for me?
Good morning. Good morning. It's winning Monday. And all I want to say is I'm glad we won. I'm not worried about Dallas. And the Commanders, they deserve that payback after they did that face mask on Dallas Goedert where he was getting ready to go in. We were going to win that game.
You're right, Sherry. Great point. Karma is a biatch. It's time to do a wrap.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm a dum-dum. The Eagles are away this weekend, so there's really awesome road trip sweet tickets.
I thought so.
Maybe next week. Yeah, I was wrong. You were right. The winners and weasels would go on as forward.
You've been hanging around with Shane Steichen recently?
Nah, yeah, I guess so.
Because I think maybe she had some weed. It's legal now in Jersey where she lives.
Is. Woo!
Think
Line
about
of the
it.
Today is sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good. Angelo, I really enjoyed your description of Louise's tailgate when you go.
All right, I'll be sliding the meat up the stick.
All right, brought to you by Orange Chevrolet.
It's meat on a stick.
Look at him. He's visually showing you out.
Why are you leaving? Hurry up.
Armand Chevrolet, over 85 vehicles available during Armand Chevrolet's Red Tag Year End event. Visit armandchevy.com, find your roots, Armand Chevrolet. Closer than you think. How do you feel about the Eagles play calling in their 25-20 win in Chicago? 54% say so-so.
Studio says today, we have a great with Kyle Quinn, Keith Jones, Seth Joyner in studio. Our producer, Joseph A. Wechter Jr., Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie coming up next. How did we do to that?